doing this. We got a very funny show for you tonight. I'm going to bring your first comedian to the stage. Please put your hands together for Mr. JK, everybody.
Hey, thanks for the welcome. I feel like I've wandered into the Millennials Only Club, and I do not belong. My favorite Beatles song is When I Used to Be 64. I'm kind of glad I'm up here first because the short bus for Carillon leaves in about 15 minutes, and I don't want to miss the weather. It's my first shot at stand-up. Thank you. But it's my third shot at trying to do something useful with my life. I'm in my second career now, my day job. 25 years ago, I moved to Lubbock and joined the faculty at Texas Tech. No kidding. Yeah, teach at Tech? Yeah, what do you teach? Sociology. Sociology, what good is that? Fair point. I have a doctor's degree, but what am I going to do? Somebody keels over there. Yes, I'm a sociologist. Quick, form a group. So that works out now and then. But my other profession, my first profession, started about 36 years ago, and I did it full-time for 6 or 7 years and part-time ever since. I'm an ordained minister. For real. Yeah, go ahead, that's all right. Not the kind where you go on the internet so you can do your sister's fourth wedding. I'm not kidding. Board certified Presbyterian. And I just retired from that. So I was asking myself, where can you transfer that skill set? Open mic night. Eric's over there going, get your ass off my stage. I get that a lot. I tell people once in a while that I'm a professor and a preacher. And I told that to one guy and he goes, you know what? Law school would give you the fake news trifecta. You get church people and regular people in the same room, it can be entertaining. I got a lot of students that have jobs. And a lot of their jobs involve waiting tables, and schlepping drinks and slinging hash is hard work, so be good to your servers tonight, seriously. But without exception, they tell me that this sucky job sucks the worst from about noon to 2 on Sunday, when the church crowd invades for lunch. And they are invariably cheap and cranky and rude. Which gives me pause, because I'm one of the bunch that sent them out of there to the restaurants in that frame of mind. And a guy asked me one time, he said, how come so many of you preachers are so dull and boring and tedious and judgmental? And I said, I'm standing right here. But I know why. I mean, how do we raise our kids? What do we encourage? You know, if you've got a guy in high school or a girl in college and they're lighting up math and they're doing well in chemistry or they're great at music or the arts, you say, hey, go to med school, try engineering, Juilliard. You got somebody that's sort of dull and pious and shallow, hey, you can preach. See if you can take those people on a guilt trip for an hour and a half or so right before lunch. Pious and shallow. Pious and shallow, folks, is dangerous. Pious and shallow has given us, among many other things, abstinence-only sex education. Religiously driven. I imagine it's because the textbooks are so cheap, one page long. Don't do it. Pious and shallow. You don't have to have a PhD in sociology to know that high school kids have figured out that messing around is wicked good fun. And just don't is a tough sell to kids who just did. So you would think that the adults in the room who love them, and even their ministers, would really want them to avoid getting sick or getting pregnant. Pious and shallow goes, no, 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 no. You put a condom machine in a high school bathroom and the boys are going to think about sex. Newsflash. You give a kid a number 2 pencil, he's going to think about sex.
Am I right, sir, or am I right?
No, go ahead.
I have one for you too, ma'am. See if it works. Okay. Pious and shallow is dangerous. We have the highest rates of STDs and teen pregnancies throughout the Bible Belt South. Thank you, Jesus. And here's the interesting part from my point of view. Pious and shallow is the opposite of Jesus. Now, I have spent 4 decades listening to people tell me what Jesus would do, what Jesus wants, what you better not do if Jesus is watching, and they usually ground that argument with something they think they read in the Bible. And I'm going, what Bible are you reading? And did you read the rest of it? The Bible goes to extraordinary and excruciatingly detailed lengths to introduce Jesus of Nazareth to the world. I'm not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about as an adult when he starts what turns out to be about a 3-year gig in ministry. It happens at a wedding. And apparently it's a wedding with a killer open bar. Because about halfway through it, they run out of wine and people start getting cranky and rude. So somebody goes up to Jesus and informs him, and you would think that pious and shallow would say, you know, you binge drinking is bad, and you had plenty, but you drank it all up. No. He says, all those stone jars of water, those big honking ones, fill those babies up with water, and shazam, we got lots more wine, and it's really good wine. I got that party restarted pretty quick. And the Bible didn't say what happens next because apparently no one could remember. So that's what Jesus is about. That's the first impression we get by careful reading of the New Testament. Well, who does he spend time with? Well, lots of people. But I would illustrate with what I think is the most notable, compelling, certainly the most interesting woman in the New Testament not named Mary. Didn't have a name. She is simply known as the woman caught in adultery. Apparently pious and shallow were doing some window peeping, and they find a woman caught literally in the act of adultery. So they drag her into the center of the city, throw her at Jesus' feet, and go, we get to stone her, tell us what you think. And he doesn't say much, and they push him. And then he says, let him among you who is without sin be the first to cast a stone at her. Boom. Now I think if pious and shallow want to quote the Bible, that would be the place to start and finish. Pious and shallow runs around going, do you love Jesus? Huh? Do you love Jesus? I think a much better question is, who do you think Jesus loves? You read the wedding story, it's pretty clear he loves drunks. And if you read most of the rest of it, especially about the women, he's very fond of skanks. Jesus loves drunks and skanks. And if that's true, he'd certainly be right at home, certainly with us, just as we are. I'm JK, folks. Thanks a lot.
You know, for JK.
I think it's the first time out here. That was killer, man. Crush that. Makes me wish I was caught up in some adultery, you know? That's me at home again, adulterizing myself. All right.